Hi, you guys. Welcome back to the Uptown Rundown podcast. My name is Norris, and in today's episode, we have quite a few things to attempt to get through. Probably won't get through them all as usual, but I don't even know what I want to start with. Let's start with Texas. We might as well revisit Texas. So in an earlier podcast, I said that Texas is a mess and no one is doing anything to help. And things have not changed. Things have actually not changed. They've actually, I don't know if they've gotten worse on the scale of good to bad. But let's just give you the details. So what's some new things going on with Texas? Well, so their governor, Greg says, let's do away with all masks. Let's do away with all capacity restrictions. So he's following in the steps of Mississippi. He's following in the steps of states that never even bothered to have a mask mandate. And he's saying, let's open up. Let's open everything up like normal. I don't even know how I feel about it, because it's kind of like what they need to do is what the country needs to do is either pay people to stay home or, you know, help out or allow these businesses to open. Like, we're going to have to do one or the other, because this little, you know, halfway in, halfway out. You know, it's like our foot is halfway in the pool, but not entirely. It's not clearly the numbers have told us that it's not working. We are, thankfully, now we're at the point where the numbers are going down. The number of cases are going down. The number of deaths is going down. So, okay, cool. But it didn't need to get as bad as it did. It didn't need to get as bad as it did. We didn't need to have 500,000 people dead. We didn't have to do that. We didn't, but we did. And it's because of, you know, well, because of lack of leadership. I mean, we had no real lockdown. There was no real lockdown like other countries had. You know, you look at in Australia or in New Zealand where they're having music festivals because the cases are, you know, you can count them on two hands. You can count them so much easier than here. You know what I mean? So we have Greg doing this. Governor Greg says no masks, no restrictions anymore. We just don't need them. They don't need them. Texas says they don't need them, and they say that you don't need them either. Now, as related to their storm, which was, again, one of the worst storms, probably the worst snowstorm that they've ever had, let's talk about some disgusting points about that storm and why are people's electricity bills in the five figures. Let's discuss. So, I mean, this is nuts. So we have so this is just one example of many. You got this guy named Scott Willoughby, who his electricity bill was $16,752. That's for a month of electricity. Now, again, I live in the north. My electricity bill it doesn't even need to be three figures. So why is there five? Well, let's discuss. So what is going on here is, remember how they have their own electricity grid just for Texas. Meanwhile, the rest of the country, we have the Eastern grid and the Western grid. And these grids are federally, they're federally regulated. The East and the West grid, federally regulated. Texas grid, not so much, because they wanted it to be this way. They said, we want to do our own. We don't want to be a part of you. I mean, the whole Texas and seceding thing has really been a thing. I mean, probably since 1865, let's be honest. It honestly seems like they should just secede at this point. But anyway, let's stay to the topic at hand. So, the Public Utility Commission of Texas was part of Texas's solution years ago to regulate themselves. For example, it's almost like when you hear about a company, or like, for example, when you hear about the NYPD and how they, you know, shot someone 30 times and turns out that they didn't actually do anything wrong, and they're like, we're gonna conduct our own investigation on it, and then surprise, surprise, a few weeks later, they're like, we found no wrongdoing. This is what it is. So the Public Utility Commission of Texas, they allow the prices to rise to $9,000 per megawatt. So what that means is that $9,000 per megawatt hour. So what that means is that these prices are allowed. It's allowed. It's written into their law. This is what the Public Utility Commission of Texas says is okay. If it gets to $9,000 per megawatt hour, that's okay. Why is it allowed to go to $9,000 per... Whose electricity bill needs to be that... No one's electricity bill needs to be that high. So... why is this allowed, Texas? And the crazy part is that this guy, Scott Willoughby, he's talking about, you know, how he was a veteran, how he used all of his savings, actually, to take care of this bill. And it's like, Texas, I thought you cared about your veterans. I thought you cared. That's a big sweeping thing that the country as a whole needs to look at their treatment of veterans. I thought you guys cared. Meanwhile, how many homeless veterans do I walk by every single day? Please, you guys do not care. Stop it. Stop saying you care about veterans when you don't. Now, remember when I said that Governor Greg says that we don't need any more mask mandates? We don't need any more capacity restrictions? So now he has also outlawed the smaller municipalities. So what that includes is counties and cities and towns. They cannot enact a mask mandate. What is that about? Now see, I thought that Texas was all about governing themselves, not being this, you know, this socialist totalitarian government. Meanwhile, you're not allowing your own you're not allowing mayors to decide if they want to have a mask mandate for their city. So Steve Adler, the mayor of Texas, Mayor Steve wants to sue now. He wants to sue because they want to enact a mask mandate, but they're not allowed. They're not allowed unless you have X amount of cases, and this number is dependent on your population, your total population. And it's like, why does it need to get so bad before you try to have a solution? Why does it need to be catastrophic before you decide to... why do you have to be reactive instead of proactive? That's the question. Why are we not trying to be... why is it outlawed to be proactive rather than reactive? That's the question that Governor Greg is going to need to answer. Because, honestly, why are we doing this? None of it makes sense. So that's why I say that things in Texas, are they better? I don't know. I guess it depends on who you ask. I feel like Governor Greg just wants to get reelected. And this is the perfect way to do it. You know, you left everyone out there to die during the storm. But you know that none of them want to wear masks. So what better way to get back in their good graces than to allow them to not wear masks? You know what I mean? So I feel like this is just his way to get reelected. And it's kind of gross. But the thing is, it'll work. It will work. Watch when it's time to reelect that they're gonna Watch. He's going to come back. Please. He'll be back. So, next on the list. What's next on the list? We have... Oh, here we go. So, let's talk about Kentucky. Kentucky is doing a lot of ridiculous things. And I cannot believe what... what I am reading. So, in Kentucky, what is being talked about... it's not law yet. But I would not be surprised if this does become law very soon. So, in essence, what it is... it will be illegal to taunt a police officer. So, let's really get into what... the legislation actually says, the proposed legislation. Let's get into what the proposed legislation actually says. So this legislation, bill number 211, is being presented by senators in Kentucky, Michael Neems, I guess that's how you say it, Neems, and Danny Carroll. So let's, so if... keep those names in your head if anything weird comes up with those two. If they run for higher office, then you know that this is the type of stuff that they're going to want to push. So we're talking about so we're talking about it being illegal to taunt an officer, right? Now let's discuss the bill as a whole. Bill number 211, right? So before we get into the whole police officer thing, let's talk about some stuff that that is already in the Kentucky law. So, Bill number 211, the new proposed bill, is sort of an expansion on already introduced legislature. It's already enacted, it's already law. What they already have in there, and this isn't new news. We've seen this in other states. We've seen this in other cities. Is the targeting of homeless, honestly. That's what it is. So we're talking about in the legislation, they refer to it as camping. Camping is illegal. And that has to do with erecting a camp, essentially. So we have, let me just read it for you. A person is guilty of unlawful camping on property owned by the Commonwealth of Kentucky, that is, when he or she knowingly camps on an area which is not specifically designated for use as a camping area by the department or agency responsible for the land. Now, let's talk about the punishment that people will face, the punishment that homeless people will face. Imagine being homeless and then you got to go to court. Okay, what is there to gain from this? So let's discuss. A person, a person shall not be guilty of a violation of this section unless the person received a warning not to engage in camping from an official responsible for the protection of the property in question and continue to engage in camping or return within 24 hours of the warning to continue to engage in camping. Camping means at any time between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. So this has to do with, you know, so there's only certain hours that people sleep, right? Again, and this is why we say, this is why I say that this is targeting the homeless. Because, hello, people sleep between 10 and 7 usually, right? Right? So it's like, so at any other time of the day, it's okay to be out there sleep. Is that what they're telling me? Is what they're telling me that if it's noon, then it's okay to be out there sleeping? Is that what they're telling me? So I'm looking for, what I'm looking for right now is the punishment for camping. I'm so unprepared. I'm so mad that I don't have it up here. Okay, here we go. Here we go. So, da 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 da, where is it? Here we go. So, Listen to this. Listen to this. So here's the new part being added to Bill number 211. This is the new stuff that they want to add to Kentucky law. And if this passes, I wouldn't be surprised if this passed in other states. This is why it's sort of like alarming, because how does the law work? It works by precedent, right? So precedent having to do with what has someone else done. For example, you are the judge and you are judging some type of murder case. Now, let's say there's a guilty verdict. How do you go about the punishment? You look at precedent. What has been done before in a similar situation? What type of punishment was rendered in a similar situation in the past? So, this is why it's important. This is why I'm even talking about this. None of this is that surprising, because it is a red state that, you know, red states do what red states will. But again, this does have the potential to spread to other red states. And again, we know who they're targeting. They're targeting the homeless. They're targeting the most vulnerable. And let's not forget the fact that these homeless people, let's not forget that they are majority black. Let's not forget that. So they're targeting the homeless who are mostly black. Let's talk about the punishment for people who are homeless. And we're punishing them for that fact. We're punishing them for the fact of being homeless. Let's discuss. So unlawful camping on property owned by the Commonwealth is a Class A misdemeanor. Now, what the new legislation is talking about if you're camping during a riot. This is what it's all about, the riot. Now, if you're camping during a riot, then you shall be imprisoned for 6 months. Minimum. A minimum term of imprisonment for 6 months. Imagine going to sleep and then waking up because you got to go to jail for 6 months. Because you have nowhere else to go. These are the same people, by the way. The people who are so against homeless people sleeping outside, the same people that are against this are the same people that say that we need to defund social services and fund police departments more. How are you... Now, see, this is why I say, and I said this in an earlier podcast, that conservatives, they're going to have to pick one. You can't say that homeless people shouldn't be sleeping on public property, that they should go to the homeless shelter, when you don't want to give any money to the homeless shelter. Pick one. You're going to have to pick one. You can't have both of these things at the same time. You can't have a well-funded social service such as a homeless shelter when you don't want to fund it. You can't have homeless people not sleeping outside if the homeless shelter is so underfunded. And we know what goes on in these homeless shelters. We know what goes on. We've seen the reports. We've read the reports. Just only in New York, you read about how people talk about their stuff getting stolen. I mean, you read about, I even read once about a guy who got his head chopped off. I'm not even exaggerating. Chopped off, decapitated at a homeless shelter, just wanting to sleep. And you imagine going to sleep and you get your head chopped off. What is that? Like, this is how crazy. Do you see how stupid all this sounds? When you really break it down for what it really is, you hear how stupid it all sounds. You hear how stupid this legislation sounds. Now, let's get into riots. Let's get into riots and what they define as a riot. So, a person is guilty of... Oh, wait a minute. I'm reading the taunting a police officer part when I don't want to get there yet. I want to talk about rioting. Where is it? So, a riot... A person is guilty of inciting a riot when they entice five or more people to participate in a riot. Now, I am going to need... This makes no sense. What I'm going to need is a better definition. I'm going to need a much clearly a much more clearly defined definition. How are you going to define a word and use the word in the definition? We learned that in the fifth grade, but Danny Carroll didn't. Michael Neems didn't. Why are you supposed to be these, you know, you are elected people. I thought you're supposed to be smart. Meanwhile, you're just, but anyway. So that's what it is. When you entice five or more people, when you got five or more of you in a group and you're rioting, that's a riot. But I need to know what criteria actually defines riot. And that's not clearly defined here. So that's a problem because you know who they're going to target. Once again, if you're black, that's who they're going to target. Or if you're, now all of this is to sort of quell the Black Lives Matter riots and that's really what this is all about, right? We know this. We aren't stupid. They think we are because the conservative base is stupid, but they think that we are too, and that's not the case. So you're gonna have to try a little bit harder, Danny Carroll, because none of this stuff makes any sense. Now let's talk about here we go. So let's discuss the taunting a police officer part. So let me read this to you. A person is guilty of disorderly conduct in the second degree when in a public place and with intent to cause public inconvenience, annoyance, or alarm, or wantonly creating a risk thereof, he accosts, insults, taunts, or challenges a law enforcement officer with offensive words or by gestures or other physical contact that would have a direct tendency to provoke a violent response from the perspective of a reasonable and prudent person. So that is quite alarming. That's alarming to me because it's like, now you can't even talk back. And it's not even talking back. It's more like, what is a police officer going to say that a taunt was? What are they going to say that someone said and they say this is a taunt? We already know that police officers are able to kill you if they feel afraid, right? And then we know that, you know, black men are, you know, they scare cops. You know what I mean? Like, this defense has been used for forever. So it's like, that's the sort of, that's the only condition needed to kill someone. If you're afraid, and if you're black, then you're automatically fear, like, you are already scary. Like, you're a scary person because you're black. You know what I mean? So here now we have we have taunting a police officer now. We have accosting a police officer with words or gestures, and that is now going to be a misdemeanor. Is like, what? So my question just becomes, if this does become law, How far are we going to run with this? Like, I really need to know how far we're going to run with this. Because again, like I said, if you're black, then they're afraid of you. And that means that they're able to kill you. And we've seen it. We see it every other day. No one gets charged. We see it every day. No one gets convicted. So it's kind of like, it's just frightening. It's frightening on all fronts. Next, let's talk about another red state, South Carolina. I was actually complaining to one of my friends who lives in South Carolina. I was saying, oh, wow, I feel like I have nothing to talk about today. And then she told me about this. And I knew about this, but I forgot that I knew about it. And, oh, wow. So let's discuss something else that's not yet law, but I wouldn't be surprised if it is. So we have in South Carolina, where is it? I wrote notes on it. Oh, here we go. So we have Governor Henry McMaster. Governor Henry, he has signed into law basically banning all abortions. Basically banning all of them. So What it is if you can detect a quote-unquote fetal heartbeat, then you cannot have an abortion. Now, let's discuss, because none of this is based on actual science. None of this is based on fertility science. Like, it's not, none of it is actually real, and what it is based on is nonsense. So let's discuss. I'm so sick of this abortion discussion. What I really want to ask is, why is it okay for someone to force someone else to remain pregnant? If you're someone and you say, I don't like abortion, and therefore therefore you shouldn't have one, I need you to tell me why you think it's okay to force someone else to remain pregnant. It speaks to this sort of sexual purity responsibility that America places on women. And not even just America, most of the world, honestly. Why do you place all responsibility on the woman to not get pregnant? Like, is that what it is? Is that what it is? Like, oh, if you are a woman and you want to have sex, and then if you get pregnant, well, that's just too bad. You have to raise it. Is that what it is? Because that's what it seems like. And that makes no sense. That really makes no sense. I mean, what should happen? I mean, vasectomies are reversible. So what? I mean, should every male just get the snip? And then when the time comes, if the time comes, then you get the reversal? I mean, honestly, because it's like, let's put the shoe on the other foot. I bet that if that were the case, that everybody would be up in arms. There would be, please, you want to talk about a riot? You want to talk about a riot? There would be, like, please, people would be murdered. And I'm talking about elected officials would be murdered if this were the case. If anyone ever even thought of proposing something like that. So it's disgusting. So anyway, back to Governor Henry. So he wants to outlaw abortion after a heartbeat is detected. And his basis is that a heartbeat is typically detected at 6 to 8 weeks. Ask any fertility doctor, ask any doctor, ask anyone who's ever read a scientific journal. That's not a heartbeat. That's not a heartbeat, okay? It's at 6 to 8 weeks. Like, you're still an embryo. You're not even, you don't have any organs. You really don't. What you are hearing is electrical, and you're barely hearing electrical impulses at that point. Now, let's discuss why I think this whole heart thing is important to these people. I think the heart thing is important to them because I truly do think that half these people think that our heart is shaped like the heart shape emoji. And that's a big problem, you guys, because people say things like, oh, I feel it with my heart. Your heart pumps blood. You don't feel a thing in your heart except heartburn because you're fat. You don't feel love in your heart. You don't. It's from your brain. So stop it. Stop. Honestly, like, I truly do think that these people think that the heart emoji is what the actual heart looks like. I'm not, because these people are dumb. The people who are in support of this bill are dumb. Because again, none of it is based on fertility science. None of it is based on anything that is actually tangible. What it is again, pandering. It's just pandering. Let's not forget the fact that at 6 to 8 weeks, that's typically when women find out that they're pregnant. How else are women supposed to realize that they're pregnant? No one goes just taking pregnancy tests just willy-nilly. You take a pregnancy test because you're not getting your period, okay? And I feel like, and it's like the people who are proposing laws like this, surprise, surprise, two men are proposing this law about what women can do with their bodies. I mean, none of this is surprising. But I bet you that they have no idea about, like, you know, your period can act crazy. Women's periods act crazy sometimes. Like, you could get it and, you know, you'll be able to time it. But women will tell you, sometimes it acts crazy. You might get it later, way later, and everything is fine. But see, the thing is, if the cutoff is 6 to 8 weeks, what kind of time is that if 6 to 8 weeks is when women normally find out that they're pregnant? What about the women who don't find out at 6 to 8 weeks? What about the women who find out at 12 weeks? I mean, that happens. Have you ever seen that show, I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant? People, now I know that this is probably like real one-off type stuff, but people might not know until well beyond 8 weeks. It happens. So what? Oh, now it just has to be, now you just have to stay pregnant. But once again, conservatives, you're going to have to pick one. Because if you want to force women to give birth, you're going to need to be there to help. Because you can't you can't tell someone that they have to raise another child on their own. Like, what if they don't want to raise that child on their own? But once again, conservatives do what conservatives do. Red states do what red states do, and that's defund the social services. So, no benefits for you, you know, because they're constantly slashing the benefits. They're constantly, you know, raising the bar on what you gotta do to get these benefits. Half these women who are pregnant that are questioning if they want to even have a child, they will have no support once that child is born. You people don't want to do anything for these people after they give birth. Because it's not about being pro-life. It's being pro-birth. It's being pro-birth. What they need to do is rebrand the whole thing. Call it pro-choice and anti-choice. Because you're against a woman choosing. You are. You are for forcing a woman to stay pregnant. That's what you're for. You're for forcing her to stay pregnant. Forcing her. Imagine being forced to stay pregnant. Otherwise, you'll be fine. So stupid. Let's talk about more of this abortion talk, why it is such a contentious topic. And why is it? It's because of the Bible. Because people think that Christianity should be the law of the land. Let's talk real quick about how none of you want Christianity to be the law of the land. Look at the Middle East. You have countries, Christians and conservatives like to, you know, trash the Quran, trash Islam, trash Muslims, when in actuality, your holy books say the exact same thing. Don't even try it. You guys like to paint the picture that they're all hiding their faces and blowing up buildings when, you know, I mean, terrorists are such a small population of Muslims. Like, most Muslims are just like all you random Christians out there. Honestly, none of them are like that. But again, you guys are very easily fooled by the conservative media that you would think that the facts were otherwise. You would think that all the Muslims are suicide bombers. You would think that they're all comfortable with the laws in place that oppress women. They don't want that. They don't actually want that. Women in Saudi Arabia want to drive cars. Women in Saudi Arabia don't feel like wearing the hijab all the time. Like, what? But that's how dumb you all are, because you honestly think this is true. Because again, you don't read. You guys don't read. But let's talk about abortion and Christianity, and how you guys think that Christianity should be the law of the land. You don't. The Bible allows for slavery. It tells you who you can buy your slaves from. It tells you how long you can hold a Hebrew slave. Spoiler alert, it's 7 years. There's a loophole to get around that. It tells you how you can pass your slaves on to your children as an inheritance. I mean, hello, this is the book, the Bible. This is the book that was used to uphold slavery in the United States. This is the book that was used to uphold the fact that women weren't allowed to vote until 1919. This is the book that was used to uphold the fact that black people couldn't vote until 1965. This is the book that was used to uphold the fact that black people couldn't marry white people until 1967. This is a heinous book, but you guys think it should be the law of the land. Please, please. What about the part where it says that you can't wear clothes made of more than one fabric? All of you with your Walmart poly blend mess, you'd all be in jail. You'd all be in jail if that were the law of the land. Let's be honest. Let's really be honest. But you can't be honest because you haven't read it. Because you don't read. None of you read. If you read the book, you would be like, whoa. What a mess. And don't even come with the, oh, that's the Old Testament, please. Please. Honestly? So then why is it still in there, huh? If none of it matters, then why is it still in there? Shut up. Just shut up. So as for the whole abortion thing, let's really go into it because I actually know this topic quite well. And so, so we're talking about the Bible and abortion, right? Let's not forget the fact that the Bible doesn't actually mention this really. But what it does mention, I'll tell you what it mentions. I actually looked up, where is it? I looked up, here we go. So focus on the family. I mentioned them in an earlier podcast. They're this like organization, this conservative organization. They're one of those people. Remember in an earlier podcast when I said people are going to have to raise their own children and stop relying on the entertainment industry to do it for them? This is one of those organizations. Focus on the Family is an organization where, in my opinion, they don't care about you raising your own children, but they care more about everyone else being so pious around your children, everyone else being so, you know, being the modicum of piety and sobriety around your children when the responsibility really is on you, the parent, right? So they are saying that the Bible is a pro-life book. And the examples that they give are stupid examples. So here we go. Here's the pro-life evidence you may have missed. So in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 45, I'm going to read it. I'm just going to read it all. Reading it all, because you're not going to tell me that I'm taking anything out of context. So let's read it. So in those days, Mary, we're talking about the mother of Jesus. So in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to the town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Anyway, I'm going to cut off there. What this is apparently Elizabeth's unborn child recognized the presence of Mary's unborn child. This, please. And this is supposed to tell me about being pro-life? Whatever, a fairy tale. Babies don't recognize other babies. And I don't care if it's Jesus. I don't care if it's baby Jesus. I don't care if it's baby Athena. I don't care if it's Zeus or Apollo. No. That's not how it works. And what? And you believe this as fact? Honestly. Now let me tell you another instance about the Bible and abortion. Let me tell you about something. So this one's pretty quick. So let me give you some context. In the book of Hosea, chapters chapter 9, 13 through 14, we're talking about how God wants to destroy Israel because, you know, even though that it's filled with God's chosen people, the Jews, that they have started acting up and God is finished with all you. And he is finished with them. And then, so we're talking about what are we going to do to them? So here, let's read chapter 14. and you tell me. So let's read it from the King James, because that's the one that you all love, right? Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them miscarrying womb and dry breasts. Let's read chapter 15. All their wickedness is in Gilgal. For there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. But anyway, what this is about is wickedness. Okay, so the people are wicked, right? So what God is going to do to punish them is to give them wombs that miscarry and breasts that produce no milk. So what? God's going to give them a fetus and then make it die? Is that what it is? As punishment for being wicked, whatever wickedness is. Let's talk about another instance. Let's talk about in Numbers chapter 5, how they have, let me tell you how a Bible sanctioned abortion works. Surprise, surprise, it's only if the husband wants it. So if the husband suspects his wife of cheating and she is pregnant, then he can go to a local priest and he will give the wife this magic potion. The Bible does outline some of these ingredients. It's all unimportant because it's all stupid. But he will give her this magic potion and somehow the magic potion knows to kill the baby if it's not her husband's. So what the Bible talks about is if the baby is in fact the husband's, then the magic potion will do nothing. But if it isn't the husband's, then the magic potion will cause her to miscarry. So if that doesn't sound like an abortion, I don't know what does. I mean, you're drinking poison and you're no longer pregnant. So I really need people to sort of, I don't know. I really need them to actually read their Bible. I need you to read it. I need you to stop saying that it's a pro-life book, it's a perfect book. It is not. It is perfect. It's perfect in the totalitarian sense. It's very perfect in that regard. But that's not how I think things should be ran. And I know that you don't think so either. Next, lastly, let's talk about, how much time do we have? Goodness, I always go off on tangents. 43 minutes on here. Let's talk real quick about New York. So in New York, we have the mayor race coming up later this year. So Mayor de Blasio is on his way out because of term limits. He cannot run for a third term. So we got some people that are supposed to be running. We have a lot of people that are supposed to be running. We got Andrew Yang. We know who Andrew Yang is because he was talking about running for president. You know, he lasted actually longer than I thought because he's kind of like a nobody. Like no one ever, like who ever heard of Andrew Yang? No one did. He lasted pretty long before he dropped out. We all knew that he wasn't going to win. Another notable candidate, I'm really going to talk about the notable candidates because we know that half these people are not going to even, like, get 1%. You know what I mean? We got Eric Adams, the current borough president of Brooklyn. Borough president is kind of like a vanity title, you know? It's like second runner-up, you know? It's like, it doesn't really matter. Like, you don't do anything. You don't actually have any political power. But he has name recognition. So I feel like it's either going to be, honestly, I think it's either going to be Andrew Yang or it's going to be Eric Adams. We also have Curtis Sliwa. He's, if you lived in New York ever, then you might have heard of the group called the Guardian Angels. And they're this, it's kind of weird. They're this group that, like, used to patrol the subways back in the 80s, back in the 90s when crime was higher in New York. I don't know. It's kind of weird because the police were on the subways during that time. So what do we need you for? I don't know. I don't really know. But they've been around for a long time and they're still around. He is probably going to run. Actually, we know he's going to run as a Republican because he's like a Donald Trump fan. Running as a Republican is not how you're going to get elected in New York. I'll tell you that right now. That's just not how it's going to work. And so I feel like the only people that really have a chance is Eric Adams, Andrew Yang, and maybe one of these women. I actually saw one of these women, Maya Wiley, for example. She is... I don't even really know who she is. She's just someone. I saw her on... Did I see her on The Breakfast Club? Let's talk about The Breakfast Club real quick. How they need to... The Breakfast Club is like... They are attempting... They have been attempting for quite some time to be seen as sort of this like... journalistic type of... platform. So if you don't know, the Breakfast Club is a radio show, a hip-hop radio show with Charlamagne, DJ Envy, and Angela Yee. It's been around for 10, 12 years at this point. It has been around for a long time. Now, let's talk about the platform that I'm going off on a tangent, but why not? Why not end this on a tangent, right? So the Breakfast Club, they have been, during the presidential election, they interviewed quite a few of the candidates. Andrew Yang showed his face on there far too many times. Who else was up there? I think de Blasio's been up there. Who else was up there? I mean, oh, Bernie's been up there, right? Just pandering, you know, like that's just what they all do. Because you go to the Breakfast Club because you think you're going to get like the black wokety-woke crowd. That's who you think you're going to get. But who you really get, no one is watching the Breakfast Club for this. It's very funny because you can even see in the views on YouTube when it's like a messy interview with, I don't know, with someone, it'll get 100,000 views in 3 days. But when it's like, you know, Maya Wiley, who's trying to run for mayor, it'll get 3,000 views in 3 months. Yeah, because no one is watching. The Breakfast Club has to really come to accept what type of platform they are. Let's talk about how they've gotten insanely worse in the past 3, 4, 5, 6 years. I feel like since the burst of viral moments, and that's all you need to get views, That's when the Breakfast Club took a nosedive. Remember how? That is exactly it. Let's talk about the fact that Jadakiss interview is their highest viewed video, and it's not even an interview because before they could interview, he got up and walked out. Him and his whole crew got up, gone. That's their most popular video. And it wasn't even an interview. Because The Breakfast Club is a messy gossip show. That's what it is. That's what they're doing. All they do, they sit around, talking mess, and that's fine. That's perfectly fine. Like, what do you watch the Breakfast Club for? Do you watch it to get your news? Your political news? Now, I know that Charlamagne does this Donkey of the Day thing, which is entertaining. You know, it's entertaining. It gives you, like, that could sort of bring some people into some political news. For example, the Donkey of the Day is when Charlamagne said, and it's a quick thing, a 5-minute thing, where he talks about someone who is acting stupid out here in public. For example, a donkey of the day recently was, you know, Papa John, how he's still doing interviews because he's upset that a few years ago he got caught using the N-word on his conference call, and he is upset about it. Upset that he got caught, and he is upset that you guys are upset, and he is upset that you all ruined his life. But he has recently done, but Papa John has recently done a few interviews. So that's what Charlamagne said. Donkey of the day is Papa John for this. And in other episodes, donkey of the day has been such and such politician for saying something stupid. So I feel like that is probably the best way for the Breakfast Club to sort of get into the political forum. But just having politicians on, like, no one is watching. And I feel like the Breakfast Club gains so much more. The people who go up to the Breakfast Club gain nothing. But the Breakfast Club themselves, they gain so much more. They gain a little bit more credibility. They gain a little more, like, cachet, I suppose. But it's like, it's all lost. Because it's all lost, because who really cares? No one really cares that much. No one really cares that much. So I don't understand why anyone is going up to the Breakfast Club anymore, unless you're going to talk mess. Unless if you're going to talk real issues, do not go up to the, stop it, because you look dumb. You look crazy. It just is not a good look. So, with that said, that is all I'm going to talk about for today. My throat is dry, and so so I am done for today. But yeah, thank you guys for listening, and I will see you in the next one.